Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, we asked you to come on and talk about a great article that you've written, A Strategy to Transform California in One Election. Wow, we here in Nevada would greet that with open arms. Is it possible, Edward? We think so, because we know that there are lots of conservatives that still live there in California. But you have not only said that you have a strategy, you have gone through and numbered it out. Just said, here are the steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, we're going to do this. So talk to us a little bit about your strategy and why we'll only take one election.
Well, first of all, it's probably something that a lot of people would look at and call a conservative strategy. You read through these and you think about what's happening to all Californians, I think people take a second look, no matter what their ideology is, they're going to realize that these are good ideas. And that's why there's a potential for something like this to truly transform the state. California has the Citizens Initiative process, which bypasses the legislature, which is completely controlled by special interests. And I think there's a growing number of Californians of all parties who realize that it's not working for them anymore.
So you would plan then to use the initiative process. We also have that process in Nevada, and it works well. But it's hard to get all those signatures that are needed from citizens to actually get something on the ballot.
Well, that's true. And in California nowadays, it costs about $5 million to gather sufficient signatures to put one initiative on the ballot. But if you're marketing a slate of initiatives, if you've got 10 initiatives or a dozen initiatives, and you're marketing that, let's say, as a contract with California or a contract with Nevada, there's 24 states where you can put citizen initiatives on the state ballot. There's 18 states where you can put constitutional amendments on the state ballot, and that will fundamentally transform those states. So you get economies of scale if you come out there with 10 petitions and you've already put forward a campaign that explains that this is going to do everything at once. And most people that are going to sign one of them are probably going to sign all 10 or the whole dozen. So the idea is to try to put this together in a way where you get those economies of scale. And let's not forget, in California, there's 126, according to Forbes magazine, there's 126 billionaires. And you only have to find one patriot who's willing to do this. Most of the billionaires in California are corporate leftists, globalists, and so forth. And they have their beliefs and their convictions, and they're not going to give you money. A lot of them are scared, and a lot of them are just practical business people who want, for example, cheap labor. They like the idea of scarcity, that our legislating bodies are creating scarcity of housing. They're creating scarcity of energy. And that generates profits for the people that end up still able to build homes or generate electricity. So you have a lot of special interests that have already co-opted most of these billionaires. But you only need one billionaire. We also have the power of the internet, and if you keep your tone reasonably moderate, you still can't get banned. It's possible, and no one's really done this yet, but it's going to happen, where people are going to be able to raise signatures using the internet, using downloadable petitions, going through all the verification processes, and quite possibly they'll be able to gather signatures at a fraction of the conventional cost. So there are ways to make this happen.
Well, I, for one, applaud you. I've done several petitions of my own here in Nevada. We have a little more, a higher bar, if you will, on our petitioning process than California does. But are you suggesting these would be constitutional amendments, these 10?
Well, they might as well be. You have to get a few more signatures for a constitutional amendment than you do for a statute. But that's the sort of thing that when you're ready to actually get on the ground and start gathering signatures, you do your legal research and you figure out what it's going to take to make these changes. For example, to reform pensions in California, you need a constitutional amendment. to reform some of the problems we're having with public education, you may only need a statute. So, you know, if you go down the list, public education reform, supporting charter schools, making it easier to build homes, making it easier to get drunks and addicts and mentally ill people off the street to help the homeless, restoring law and order by making it easier for police to do broken windows policing again, the technique that worked and got crime way down in New York City. And what did California do? They passed laws that make it impossible to arrest people for property crimes and drug offenses unless they rise to the level of major felonies, and that has to be reformed. We have to reform the environmental rules. The California's Environmental Quality Act is a excuse for lawsuits, and it's tied up development and infrastructure in its tracks, and it's doubled the cost to build things. It's tripled the cost to build things in California. We need to reform the renewables laws, where utilities don't have to buy power from solar power generators or wind power generators that include continuous power. So they only price what it costs them to set up solar panels and sell energy when the sun's shining, and then the utility has to go out and buy fossil fuel when the sun is down or the wind stops blowing. And of course, the people who build those plants are only allowed to sell their power when the sun isn't shining or the wind isn't blowing, so they don't have enough operating time. So it becomes very expensive to get that energy. That has to be reformed. We need to start building nuclear power plants. Anybody who's serious about climate change ought to be supporting that instead of opposing that. And we need to create water abundance. We need to build more reservoirs. We need to capture more runoff. If you don't like reservoirs, put it in an aquifer. There's all kinds of underground aquifers in California. Build desalination plants and stop charging so much to build them. They build them in Israel for 1/6 the cost that it takes to build a desalination plant in California. Widen the freeways. Roads are the future. They're not the past. Cars are getting green. Cars are getting smart. Cars drive themselves. Why aren't we building more roads? And let's take some of these pension funds and put some of that money, to put some of the pension fund money into bonds to pay for all of this stuff. There's $800 billion of state and local pension fund assets in California. Let's use 10% of that money for bonds. It wouldn't lower their rates of return very much because it's only 10%. Why don't we do that? And these kinds of things could be on a ballot. And I think Democrats and liberals and recent immigrants, everybody in California should see an upside to supporting these kinds of transformational changes.
Well, of course, your only opposition is going to come from your legislature. And that's what makes them, and that's what makes them upset, is because if you go to the Constitution, it's very difficult for them to change a constitutional amendment, as proven by your Prop 13. That has stood the test of many a legislative attempt to withdraw the will of the people through a statutory means. So I can see why you would want to go right to the Constitution, skip allowing those legislators to have free rein, because you get it in, they can take it out when it's statutory. So talk to me a little bit about the opposition. Now, you know, of course, we think you're being very reasonable, and you saw Rick and I both shaking our heads, yes, yes. In fact, bring it to our state.
Well, what's happened in California is happening in America. You have an almost unbeatable coalition, and it's not a conspiracy. It's more of a convergence of special interests who all want the same thing. If you look at what's going on in the high-tech industry, for example, they want to build the Internet of Things. And what better way to get the Internet of Things, to get all of these Internet-enabled monitoring devices into every appliance in every home, but to mandate it in the name of stopping so-called climate change. So they love the idea of enforcing renewable energy, which requires all kinds of smart upgrades to the grid, which takes away the resiliency of the grid. They like the idea of making things not just conserve energy, but conserve energy to an extreme, where, for example, you can't run your dryer at a certain time of day unless you want to pay more for the kilowatt hours that your dryer might consume. And these kinds of micromanagement are very profitable to the whole high-tech industry which is the by far the most powerful economic, private economic interest in California. And then if you look at the power of the public sector unions in California, why wouldn't they be in favor of all of these extra mandates? Why wouldn't they be in favor of this artificial scarcity? If you make it impossible to build housing in the name of climate change, which, by the way, is based on, let's not even talk about whether or not climate change is a real phenomenon caused by humans and by CO2. Let's just assume that that's true. The studies that say that building a suburb instead of building densely packed, you know, infill cities with high rises and apartments, rapid transit, the idea that that saves on greenhouse gas emissions is not necessarily true. If you unclog the roads and if you extend the urban footprint of cities, the jobs follow the people out to these suburbs. And if you don't have biased studies and you look at all of the variables that might impact greenhouse gas emissions, you don't have a strong argument for forcing everyone into the center of existing cities. It's a very inhumane way to treat people. A lot of people like to have yards. A lot of people like to be in the middle of cities, but they should have that choice. And it's not possible to bring down the price of homes unless you have not just infill, but also have extensions of the urban footprint and building cities outwards. There's just not enough to bring a price equilibrium back. But what happens if you do that? Property tax revenues go up because there's a housing bubble. Real estate speculators get to make more money because there's a housing bubble. Even the pension fund, their real estate portfolios benefit from this because they've got a portion of their assets invested in real estate that's appreciating artificially. So you have all of these groups that benefit when you have scarcity.
Well, we've been talking with Edward Ring, who's our guest. He's written an article, A Strategy to Transform California in One Election, and he has outlined that strategy for us here on Conservative Commandos Radio Show. We're coming to you from the Conservative Commandos Radio Network studios and around the world on the internet. We also come to you from our TV show on the AUN Network in San Francisco, San Rafael, Marin, North Bay, San Jose, Silicon Valley, Santa Rosa, Wine Country, Redding, Chico, Sacramento, and soon.
Rebroadcast of our show, please check out our website, ccrshow.com. That's ccrshow.com. You'll find our TV show there. You'll find a radio show there. A lot of great articles and a lot of terrific information. Our guest this segment is Edward Ring. He's a co-founder and senior fellow at the California Policy Center. He's written a terrific article, A Strategy to Transform California in One Election. Edward, thank you for holding through that break. We really do appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Edward, in your article, the very first line, it says, California conservative voters are disenfranchised. That's a little bit surprising or shocking, or it shouldn't be if you follow the news, but this was the land of Nixon and Reagan. I mean, what happened in California?
Well, that's a big
question. I know it's a little off topic, but you know.
Well, first of all, California is not as liberal as its, for example, congressional caucus now indicates. California is about one-third of the voters are conservative, maybe by some measures not quite that. But if you look at California's congressional delegation, there's only seven congressmen left, and there's 46, seven Republican congressmen, there's 46 Democratic congressmen, which that's not anywhere close to one-third. Mm-hmm. So conservatives are underrepresented, both especially in the federal Congress, but if you look at statewide, you'll see the same thing. There's not a single high office that's held by a Republican. We haven't had a Republican senator since 1992 in California. So it's even worse in terms of what we're seeing in the legislature and in the Congress than it is in terms of the voters. So what happened? The voting process has been undermined I guess you'd have to say because the Democrats are just better at running a lot of these campaigns than the Republicans are. And that's partly because they've got more votes and the momentum that comes with political power. But it's also because, again, all the special interests nowadays are lined up on the side of the Democrats. And you'll see this across the nation. It was astonishing watching the federal debates to listen to every single the presidential debates. Every single candidate was blaming big business, corporations, and Wall Street on the problems we're having in this country. And anybody who's paying attention, who isn't just completely biased or has some kind of an agenda, knows that for at least the last 10 years, if for not the last 20 years, the corporate money has all been going to Democrats. It used to be about 60-40 in favor of Republicans, and nowadays it's at least flipped. All of the most influential corporate special interests, including the gas and oil industry, they're all behind climate change. They're all behind Democrats. Wall Street is behind the Democrats. In California, the public sector unions are nearly 100% supporting Democrats. And public sector unions in California collect and spend over $800 million every single year in membership dues. And that's your tax money. Now, we did have the Janus decision, which makes it possible for public employees to opt out. We need to see a conservative movement arise within public sector unions because 40% of public employees in California identify as conservative. So why isn't 40% of all that money going to Republican candidates? So there's a lot of special interest power in California. And when you take all that financial power, you get professionals, you get full-time professionals who are used to winning and know how to win elections, who are on the street, who are hiring professional operatives. They have thousands of people in those swing districts in Southern California, thousands of paid operatives collecting ballots in the last election back in November of 2018. The Republicans have nothing of the sort. The Republicans didn't even have up-to-date software that they could give their volunteers so that when they got on their cell phones with their app, they'd know which homes were registered Democrats and which homes were registered Republicans, much less having a ballot harvesting operation. So that's the reason why, even though California remains an electorate that's a roughly one-third conservative, you don't even have one-sixth of our Congress members that are Republicans. So that's half the problem. The other problem is, well, what happened? What happened to the electorate? Obviously, California's gone through profound demographic changes, and that shouldn't have mattered. It shouldn't matter if California's population has become diverse and there's all kinds of immigrants and people that are, you know, not the same mix of Californians that we had 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. It shouldn't matter, but it does because the Democrats have very successfully portrayed Republicans as being racist. Mm-hmm. And they've portrayed Republicans as being sexist. And they've portrayed Republicans as being xenophobic and homophobic and Islamophobic and every phobia you can come up with. And that works. And unfortunately, it works. You know, there's really not that much evidence that they can go all the way back to the 1990s when California's voters did pass a citizens' ballot initiative that restricted welfare payments to illegal aliens. That was over 20 years ago. And that's still what they trot out as their evidence that Republicans are racist. I don't happen to know any Republicans on the West Coast here in California that are racist. In fact, I think they're less racist than Democrats in many respects. The Democrats are pandering to people. They're seducing people into resenting one another, and it's working. And Republicans have to meet that square. They have to go into these communities, and you don't have to be a brown person to talk to brown people or a Asian to talk to Asians. You can be a white man. If you're willing to go into these communities and say, look, you're being used. We can't afford to live in this state. We can't afford to build anything. We can't afford to get permits. We can't afford to run a business anymore. We can't afford energy. You're being used. They're telling you, I'm a racist. And I'm not a racist. I'm a Californian just like you, and I can't afford to live here. That's something anybody should be saying to anybody who votes Democrat in this state. And it doesn't matter what color or gender you are. You should be willing to go talk to people who don't look like you and tell them, it doesn't matter if I don't look like you. I'm a Californian, and we're all getting abused by this system, by these special interests. Wake up.
Hey, Edward Ring, I'm glad I asked that question, but I'm sorry, because what happened is we're out of time, and I really wanted to talk more about, I call this a contract with California, but yeah. We got to have you back on to discuss this more in depth, your plan, because I see this as a truly bipartisan, you call it a bipartisan transformative political agenda for California, and it is non-political on things. But Edward Ring, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on Conservative Commandos. Please tell our audience how they could find out more about your strategy to transform California in one election.
You can find this on the California Policy Center website. That's where all of it ends up.
It's a terrific article, and I encourage our listeners and viewers, especially those who are listening to us and watching us in California, please get this article. It's a must. I believe it is a must read. Edward Ring, thank you so much for joining us again. How can people follow you, and how can they find more about the California Policy Center?
Well, CaliforniaPolicyCenter.org is our website, and everything, there's a lot of things that end up in other publications, but it all ends up being archived and available on the California Policy Center website.
Edward Ring, thank you so much for joining us. Take care and God bless.
Thank you.
This is the Conservative Commandos radio show with Sharon Engel and yours truly, Rick Trader. Don't go away. Sharon and I will be back with more right after this break.
Warning. Don't let your business